Welcome to Happy Humans, where we delve into the fascinating world of human behavior. And today we're going to go from everyday situations to the stage. We'll be talking about public speaking. And just like anything else in life, oftentimes if we make small shifts in our behavior, small changes, it can lead to a huge change in the results, where we can see massive improvements. But I'm not going to just be talking about this myself today. I'm lucky to have with me Margaret Watts Romney, who, like myself, is a communications coach who specializes in public speaking and has helped over 100 TEDx speakers do their finest job from the stage. Welcome, Margaret. Thanks for joining us here.
Thank you. It is such a pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, I'm looking forward to our chat because, you know, I say public speaking is the number one fear for many people. Let me ask you this. Do you feel that oftentimes people can get in their own way when it comes to giving a talk?
Absolutely, because I think that people get focused on themselves and focused on, oh, everybody's looking at me. Mm-hmm. What are they going to think of me? Which is super. I mean, talk about humans. This is so natural. It's really ingrained in us. If you look back through history, having the tribe, the clan judge us and throw us out, like that was danger. We need our people. We need to be liked in some sense. And I think all of that old programming comes online when we hop on stage, or it can. And it is a skill to then let that go and get out of thinking about yourself to switch to thinking about the audience. How am I going to serve them?
That's absolutely true, isn't it? And I feel like, and you probably agree with me on this, that being in the moment sort of keeps us out of that. You know, really, really being focused on what we're talking about, how that benefits the audience. But let me ask you this. I mean, you've worked with so many people here and people that are giving the talk of their lives too. You know, giving a TEDx talk is a pivotal moment for many people. No doubt through doing that, you've seen patterns. You've seen certain things that people kind of get hooked on. They get snagged on and it holds them back. And if they could just get past that, the level of their speaking jumps up phenomenally. Have you noticed a few of those things? Is there something in particular that stands out?
There's a couple things actually that come to mind, and I think that, excuse me, you touched on one of them, and that is being present. People do think, oh my gosh, this is the talk of my life. This is the place where I can show all of my whole life's work and all of the things I've thought, and how can I put all of that into 18 minutes or less? And instead getting present. Here is my time. I'm here on the stage now. What does this audience need from me? And really paring it down to simply, I have one idea I can leave them with. How am I going to really serve this one idea and this one audience here today? You can't cover a life's work in 18 minutes on the stage. You can't show all of your brilliant ideas. It's really about reflecting what you said, being present. And I have one other idea and one other, so part of it that touches on content, like how do you pair your content and shape it and get a story arc so that really your one core idea lands with the audience. And then I also like to weave in ideas of presentation and what you're doing with your body and with your voice. And my one favorite idea that is so simple and actually needs remembering frequently with my speakers is how you start. How do you walk on the stage? How do you plant? You then plant yourself on that big red dot, take a breath, get connected with the audience, take that whole moment to let them know with your timing, with your calmness, with your eyes, with your, dare I say, energy, you've got them. You're going to take them on a journey. You're in charge. You're the leader. Now let's go.
So intentionally really slow things down, huh?
Intentionally slow. Well, and it's a funny thing because being a speaker, your mind is racing. And so it's going to feel very, very slow as a speaker. And to the audience, they often don't even notice. But there is that connection moment for them. So yeah, slowing things down, making sure you feel you're in your body, you're in charge. I like to say speakership is leadership. And whether you like it or not, you are leading them from where you are on the stage. And you're leading them to whatever place you lead them to. You know, if you're up on the stage and you're nervous and you're jittery and you apologize and you fall apart and you don't know where you're going, you are leading the audience to that place of anxiety. And if you're calm, you're leading them. You have the chance to lead, to control the situation and lead them where you want them to go.
And I love that point because it fits in so well with human nature. I know we're programmed to notice emotions first of all, beyond anything. So from the expression on the face to the body language. And when you see somebody get really nervous, you see somebody kind of lose it and they're in their own head, we feel for them. We can see that you're still leading the audience, whether you think you are or you're not. You're just leading them down a different emotional road. So I love that concept of just taking a moment, taking a few breaths, and that you're also leading yourself by doing that, aren't you?
I hadn't thought. Yes. Yeah, you're taking care of yourself. Yeah, exactly. I had a speaker just a year ago. She wrote, speaking of leading yourself and taking care of yourself, this was her first TEDx talk and the biggest audience of her life. She had a really important message and she knew that she'd be a little nervous/excited on the stage. And she wrote herself a note before she went on stage and she wrote herself permission to be the greatest. And she put it in her pocket and walked on stage with that.
Wow. Well, there you go. That's taking that idea and making it more concrete. You know, you touched on something that's really interesting, actually, the idea of excitement versus fear, because, you know, it's the same physiological response, isn't it? You know, when you get excited, your heart starts racing a little bit. You become hyper aware of what's around you. You know, you feel the blood coursing through your veins, and all of that is exactly the same as fear, the same physiological response. Yes. It's just how we interpret that response determine what happens next, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. And I love talking to speakers through that. And sometimes people believe it and sometimes they don't. They're like, oh, I tell them, yes, just tell yourself you're excited, not scared. And sometimes they're like, yeah, right. Oh, I'm so excited. Oh, I'm so excited. But it works. Something about just saying those words, even if you feel like you're faking it, can end up switching your response.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with that. And I've seen that happen time and time again. And I think you've really touched on a key point here, because getting into that right state, into a relaxed state where you're not in your own head, you're not getting in your own way, but you're really focusing on the audience and what they're going to get from the talk, it does improve the quality, the overall quality of the talk you're giving, and it resonates more with people. So that's, I would agree that that's sort of the number one fundamental point to remember when you're giving an important presentation, no matter where it is. And I think that applies across the board. I know that I work with a lot of subject matter experts, consultants, people like that. And they, you know, they have the same issue. It doesn't have to be from the stage at a conference or at a TEDx talk. It could be even in a smaller setting or small group setting too.
Yes.
I like how you break it up too between content related strategies and then present presentation strategies, and I want to revisit the content one. And
yeah, let's do.
And check with you on this, because this is something that I've noticed in working with consultants, especially very, very intelligent people. The ones that are subject matter experts, the ones that everyone else goes to for help. Sometimes these are the people that get the most nervous when they're giving a presentation. But perhaps you've seen this too. There's one thing that I've noticed with many of these people, and I have an example of one. It was a gentleman who I went to work with in another country, and he was quite nervous when he gave speeches. And so I recorded him giving a little talk, and sure enough, at one point, he kind of got in his own head. He started sweating, skin changed all kinds of colors, didn't know what he was doing, lost his thought, long pregnant pauses there before he got into his next thought. Yeah, and we've all been there, I think.
Yeah.
We've all had that experience. But I'm glad I recorded it, because when we sat down and – you know, asked him, what were you thinking here? What were you thinking at this point? And we noticed right before he got into this sort of dip in behavior, this bad spell, he was talking about a point that he'd talked about many times. He was very familiar with. He was making jokes related to it. The audience was cracking up. He was really on a roll. He was doing great. But all of a sudden, he came out of that. And what we figured out was, He knew how to talk about his subjects really, really well, but he had never paid any attention to transitions, going from one subject to the next, connecting one idea to the next idea.
Wow.
And so in those in-between parts, that's when he would drop off. But because we could narrow it down, we said, look, this is your – This is the thing where you need to the part of your speaking that you really need to focus on, because you're doing so fantastic before that. And we could point out, look at your body language, look how the audience is responding to you. And I think that boosted his understanding of what was going on. It was just that one thing, just transitions from one point to another. And if there's anyone listening out there that that is a consultant and feels that they get a bit flustered, no, really take a look. And I would suggest recording your own speeches. I know a lot of people
Absolutely.
Don't like doing that.
But it's so painful.
it can be, and we're overly critical. But yes. I would say notice when the audience is really reacting well, when you're in your zone. And then notice when things fall off, and ask yourself what was going through your head at the time. You'll figure out what's going on. And 99% of the time with consultants, engineers, your high-level thought leaders, it's transitions. It's just going from one thing to the next. Yeah, it's one thing I've noticed.
And if that really goes back to the idea of where are you – I think it goes back to the idea of leading. Like when they're in the middle of their subject matter, they know exactly where they want to take the audience.
Right.
They know the end point. They know what they want the audience to feel and think at the end of all of that. And it's then the in-between places, they are still in charge. They're still on the stage, but they get in their own head. Like what's now? So. Yeah, that's brilliant. That's a great story.
Well, I think we almost do that in conversation every day sometimes. Have you ever been telling a story? You tell the story and everyone laughs, and then everyone kind of goes, yeah, and there's that pause. It's sort of
right.
A conversation. It's the same thing that can happen today. So it's really important to focus on those transitions. You know, we have a few minutes left. Do you have a final thought or a final piece of advice you'd like to give to our listeners out there that can enhance their speaking ability?
Let's see. I'd say if there's one thing.
I know,
that
asking one's tough, isn't it?
No, just right. Exactly one. I'll say one that I've never seen anyone practice too much.
Okay.
I'll say that. Like I've heard a few coaches say, oh, well, you don't want to get over practiced, over rehearsed. I've never seen that happen. I think that the more comfortable you are with the content, the more you can be present with the audience. And yes. And if you're in a place where it sounds rote, it's because you're in the middle of getting really comfortable with it. You haven't really embodied your whole content. So, right. Yeah, there's a few famous TEDx or TED Talks, like Jill Bolte Taylor is, she has one called My Stroke of Insight, and it's just brilliant, and it feels spontaneous and connected and alive and real. She did that 200 times before the video that we've all seen. So, yeah, that's my one thing.
I completely agree with that. I think people misinterpret sometimes. You're getting a lot of practice and doing it, practicing it again and again with being conversational in your style. I think if you're trying to be somebody else and you practice it again and again, it might not come across well. But if you're being yourself and you're practicing it again and again, then you're really fine-tuning it. I completely agree.
Yeah. Wow. Yes, exactly, exactly.
We're going to have to talk again, Margaret. I've enjoyed our conversation together. This has been great.
Absolutely.
I know we have just a short amount of time for the Happy Humans podcast, but I want to thank you for being my very first guest.
Oh, and, it's been my honor. Thank you so much.
I hope we get a chance to talk again and to do so again on Happy Humans.
I agree. I'm happy to come anytime.
Well, thank you. And thank you, everyone, for joining us. And we'll see you next time on Happy Humans. Have a great day.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.